Hello and welcome to Q&A Quest episode 419. I'm afraid the show has expired. Goodbye. I'm your host, Mike Epps, a.k.a. Wheels, with me as always.
Noted Spanish prisoner, David McBurney, Fanboy Master.
Your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaijin Monogatari, and possibly the only person here not suffering from time change lag.
Duh. Lucky you.
That's why we're supposed to play Time Stranger.
Oh, it all makes sense.
And this is Smokin' Joe Gamer, and can't think of a clever quip, sorry.
Give you
this
one of mine.
I'm always more clever than Smoking Joe.
Yeah. We got Employee of the Month on the stream today. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Even though we're all volunteers, it's fine. You know, it's a job.
It's our special Dragon Quest correspondent.
Oh.
Yay! Dragon Quest game appears. Command.
Play it. Noted LF Guardian.
What I really want is Dragon Age Builders 3. I don't know if that'll ever happen,
Dragon
though.
Dragon Quest Builders?
Dragon Quest Builders. Did I say Dragon Age?
You did.
You sure did.
Hey, that would be cool.
That would be a very different game.
Yeah.
There would just be blood all over the Lego-looking chunks of terrain.
I don't like it. It
would be a giant, blocky dragon that would try to bite your head off. And then turn into an old woman and scold you.
Well, you're probably not going to get that, but it's looking more and more likely with every little bit that we're getting the Zenithian trilogy at some point.
Yay!
I mean, when Hori responds to questions about why did you skip to 7 with, well, that was the one that was done.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we just did 3, 2, 1, and now we're doing 7 because it was the one that was done. Wow. Yeah, it's not...
It's like, okay, guess that explains what's next.
What wasn't that interview like nothing but the interviewer constantly trying to poke him about the Zenithian trilogy and him failing to answer enigmatically enough?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he clearly doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
and that interviewer at one point just switched to... Okay, so we know that's happening, so just randomly drop that bomb every few minutes.
It harkens back to when DQ3 HD2D was announced, and then, like, possibly within the same live stream, he was already hinting that, like, oh, 1 and 2 might follow.
Oh, yeah. There was the whistle guy. The whistle guy was blowing the whistle to get him to shut up, because he's like, oh, you know, if we're going to do 3, we might as well do 1 and 2.
And his handlers are like, dude, no!
It is very easy to get Hori to just sort of like blab on about projects because he doesn't seem to care that much about secrecy, and it's not like they're going to fire Yuji Hori.
Yeah, exactly.
I should hope not.
Yeah. The question will be how they
considering he still
it because,
owns
you know,
the trade. Considering he still owns the majority rights to the thing, doesn't he?
NX owns the rights to it. I believe they have to contract through him.
Yeah, I mean, he is Armor Project.
Armor Project, that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not like they're going to make one without him being...
saying, I'm not sure if they legally can.
Yeah.
I'm sure there would be ways to get around it, but they would never want to deal with the problems it would create.
I mean, technically that would just be like making the spin-off games.
I mean, spin-off games.
Even those, I mean...
Again, I'm sure that there's obviously other contingencies for eventualities, such as eventually he's going to die, which I'm sure that they were especially keen to hammer out given what's happened to the other two big three of Dragon Quest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, certainly on that, but I meant, like, if he ever decides to just jump ship and leave them, that'd be very different from him dying on the job.
Yeah. I would imagine that there's probably a legal way for them to continue Dragon Quest if Yuji Hori was uncooperative, but I'm sure that they have also been very careful to try to make sure that they never put themselves in that position.
Yeah.
could be like what happened. We could get the opposite of what happened with Shotsokaka.
Oh, speaking of Yuji Horii, what just happened with him today?
Noted Did Order of the Rising news? Sun, Yuji Horii.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Now, Gaijin, explain to us what that means.
Okay, first I'm hearing about it, but what, did he just get knighted or something?
He was apparently just listed as Order of the Rising Sun.
Oh. Okay, so yeah, he was technically just knighted.
Yeah.
Yep.
So does
apparently
he now...
he was the first video game person to have
that
honor?
Yeah, first video game developer to be given Order of the Rising Sun.
So does he now live in the House of the Rising Sun?
No,
but he has his own casino where he can go boing boing all the time. Or puff puff.
Oh, at least some places still have casinos, unlike Dragon Quest games.
Oh. Yeah. Europe keeps pushing those out of our video games, and I'm honestly kind of fine with that because I fucking hate them, but it is weird.
But I like the casino in Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow.
Well, now it's dead.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Game corner.
The Native Americans took it over. You gotta go to them.
It's fine. I can just drive 45 gambling. Minutes and be at an actual casino. I'm good.
You cannot put simulated gambling into a game in Europe unless the game is rated for 18 and above. You are, however, allowed to put actual gambling in there. You'll be fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not bitter.
Gamble if you want to, but you cannot pretend to gamble.
Wow.
All gacha games should be fired into the sun.
I mean, yeah.
Yes, they should. Yeah. That reminds me, Employee of the Month needs to get writing my review for Dragon Quest Smash and Grow.
Well, that sounds like a piece of shit.
You say Smash and Grow or Smash and Grope? Now I'm concerned.
Grow or Grope?
Grow.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Or is it Smash Slash it, Grow? I don't know what it is.
Is it bad?
We'll have to...
Is it Infinity Thrash Grow?
It's... Hey, the Infinity one wasn't that bad. Now, this one is... I did the beta. I could only play it for 2 days, and then stomach issues just staring at the screen made me not want to touch it again. It's Vampire Survivors. It's Dragon Quest Vampire Survivors with...
that has its appeals, I suppose.
That could be fun-ish.
You know what? The gameplay, whatever. I'm not a big Vampire Survivors. The gameplay, whatever. But you're going to be doing gacha for whatever that Dragon Quest of the Stars was. You're doing gacha for equipment all the time.
Oh, awful.
Never mind. That's not good.
Yep. Oh, do you want a better pair of pants? Roll this 10 times and pay us $50.
How many Sham Hat Witches are in there?
Guessing
I don't think I got
enough.
Far enough for that.
Okay, so not
apparently there was
enough.
A lot. No, not enough to. I even was wondering, like, why are we just repeating the same monsters? Like, it's every time.
There's so
like,
many good monsters in this bestiary.
Yeah. I was told that it got better the more you played the game, even though it didn't have.
Why would
a
I
want to
play it
and
do
with.
That? You gotta impress me at the start.
Exactly. I was like, I'm on the 10th level and there's still just slimes. Like, come on. At least give me a freaking she slime or something. Change the color or something.
Wait, they don't even talent swap them? What the fuck?
Monsters on record to do like 5 different things every level. Or 100 levels.
Yep.
What's going on here, dudes?
You could. Well, I mean, I guess it was the beta. I can't judge it all by the beta, but it just was not. It won't be for me. I hit the auto button. I got through like 30 levels and was like, okay, that's what this is. I haven't spent any significant time with any other Dragon Quest mobile title, and this one will not see it either. So. If you like Dragon Quest, if you like Vampire Survivors, and you love gacha for equipment, there you go. That's who this is for. I think you really need to be all three of those to enjoy it.
It sounds like it's not for me.
No, yeah. No.
I mean, they lost me at mobile, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, niche.
But it would be nice if it was at least not evil.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? They kept giving away a lot of free whatever in the beta because you weren't spending money on anything. They had to show you what your hard-earned money
first
will turn
free,
into.
Dipshit.
Yep. But I had a lot of friends who did it, and the ones who spent countless thousands of dollars on Dragon Quest Tact, I'm sure will spend that much
thousands?
Again here.
Thousands of dollars?
I beg of them to find better things to do
oh
with their time.
Oh my god.
I am positive the two Slime Time people who did our... They ended up doing a little shoot of Slime Time called Tactfully Die, talking about Dragon Quest Tact and Die every week, and I know a couple times they let it slip that they had done like $200 worth of pulls in a week or something.
Oh, that is absolutely grotesque.
And no. I just
start
like,
sending them
like that.
Links to Amazon books and telling them to please support actual independent authors, please. If they have that much free money to spend, they can
or
do,
do anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would be happy if they took half of that money and flushed it down the toilet and kept the other half for other things. It would still be a better use of their time and money.
But how would the Sonic creator make money off of his illegal trading?
Okay, I heard a third of both of you, which means I heard none of you.
Oh. Go ahead, Gaijin.
I was going to say, I mean, if you just buy every random thing that you find for sale on Amazon, you're technically flushing half of it away. So go ahead, let's do this.
You might be rewarding someone who yelled at a robot until it spat out words that they thought looked like a sentence.
Ugh.
Yeah, try to avoid that stuff.
Yeah, but and you were saying, Matt?
Oh, what was I saying? Thousands.
God damn it!
Oh, you needed to support the stock price for the Sonic creators illegally gotten stock money.
No, it's too late. Right. He doesn't have insider connections anymore.
I thought he was in jail.
Oh, man, okay.
No, he was. That didn't last long. Yeah, he was out on like. I'm too tired to think of words. It's not parole.
I was gonna say. I mean, at this point, it's already years ago because.
Yeah, but even at the time, I don't think he ever actually spent time in a jail.
Oh, really? I thought he was there for a couple months, but I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, the headlines was that he got busted. After that.
Yeah, he got busted, but I think he was, like, on a suspended sentence, basically.
Mm.
Basically, don't do that shit again.
Don't you make that shitty platformer again. Holy crap. Do you remember when we tried to play that game,
Joe?
Oh,
you're right.
Oh, Balan Underworld or Overworld?
Balan Underworld.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, it felt like I was in the underworld. Jeez.
More like Balan Blunderworld.
I thought it was going to be like, oh, this is going to be like a funny bad game. Like, this is going to be stupid to play. And it was.
Oh, it's boring.
Yeah, it's boring and awful.
It was like.
It's the worst bad game.
Well, it's like they were trying to do like Nights into Dreams, but I'm like, yeah, but that was actually fun.
They had the atmosphere of Nights, but they were trying to do a one button platformer in like 2020.
Yeah.
They're bad.
They're bad. Fireman, do you have questions? We don't talk about Bell and Wonderworld anymore.
Well, I'm playing Metaphor, and I got into one of those sequences, you know, when they're just on the ship, just biding their time while they're traveling. And that weird Katharina, the bounty queen, the weird cat girl with the pink clothes, she's kicking my ass right now. I'm like, why is this happening? And she heals herself, too. It's annoying. Awful. All right.
Very annoying. By the way, Joe, remember that Flabebe I traded you last night?
I saw your
text message. Yes.
I'm going to turn in the quest and then I can just trade it back to you.
Yes.
Fine.
I made.
Oh, what color was your Flabebe?
It was the blue. The blue one. I traded it to him so he could like complete the hair color quest. I hadn't turned it in myself.
So you did help me get Machamp and Gengar and Alakazam. So that was good.
Gen 1 is boring.
So I have found a way around the play two games with one digital code conundrum that I thought the Switch had gotten rid of by doing the virtual game cards. I got the Switch 1 version of Z to A and then paid for the upgrade. So my son's playing on the Switch 2. The Switch 2 inserted the digital card, killed the internet. So he's playing.
I fell down.
He's playing, you know, and doing just well. I download it on my Switch. It checks the internet to see if anybody else in our family is playing the game.
They're not.
We see nobody online playing the game. Ta-da.
Wow.
Because I sat around, I think it was Friday night. Oh yeah, it was when we got back from trick-or-treating. He's like, I want to sit and get some serious time in. He hadn't done much all week. And so he goes to play, and I'm like wide awake, I'm wired. I coffee at like 9 p.m. and I'm like, I can't play. This is horrible. So I put my brain to use and finally figured it out the next day. I will say, it is smart enough that I've tried trading with my son, doing local trading, and it won't even let us see each other.
I'm on to you.
Yep. That's, it must recognize like the same game code or something.
It's likely weird. It likely is recognizing that they have the same, like, digital ID.
Yeah, something like
that. It's not going to show you yourself to trade with. So if it thinks that they're essentially the same digital ID, it's like, no. Can't be that.
Did you try killing the internet on both of them? Seeing if it worked then.
I did not. I'll try that. Mm. But since mine
the code's
going
to be intrinsic to the copy, so that probably wouldn't work for that particular issue.
And I did read, you can trade between the Switch 1 and Switch 2 version. That's not a problem at all. But yeah, when we both went to local trade, it did not recognize either of us. Neither one pinged that there was somebody in the same room. So, that's all right. I'm not in it for the whole Pokédex.
Yeah, I don't gotta catch them all.
Nope, I gotta catch enough good ones to get through, and I think my goal will be complete all the side quests or something. I don't know if I need to trade for any of those specifically. I think out of the first 15, the only one I haven't done is what you're talking about, the flowers. But I have the blue one. I'm missing one of them. I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, red, blue, white, something else.
Yeah, that's an interesting side quest too, because you can, if you're in it just to get one of the hair colors, you actually don't have to find it all. You can just find the one you want. You can partially turn it in.
I just want that thing to be gone from my list. I need that checked off, man.
Well, then you need them all.
You
gotta catch them.
You
all.
Need all. Yes. All the Flabébés.
Ooh, Flabébé.
Okay.
Just like, of all the Pokemon to keep its actual Japanese name into English, why that one?
It's fun to say.
It is.
Oh, Flabébé. Yeah, we were talking about this last night. I was asking about the Japanese names of Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee, and apparently that was the localization did that, referring to Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. It's like, oh, okay, so that wasn't what their names were in Japan.
The Japanese names are references to historically famous boxer and a historically famous kickboxer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Hitmon Top is Capoeira.
Yeah.
I remember that much.
Yeah.
God, and then, of course, I always knew that Pikachu's name translated to, like, Lightning Rat.
Sparkly Mouse.
Okay.
That's more entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Pika Pika is a word that means, like, to sparkle, and chew is just, like, the sound a mouse makes, like, squeak.
Yeah.
And, of course, I remember the bomb chews from Majora's Mask.
Yep. Same reason. Okay, I was trying to remember which kickboxer it was, because it's, of course, it's Sawamoto. Sorry, I'm still thinking about the Hitmonlee thing.
Yep. Sawamura and Ebiwara.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Sawamura and Ebiwara. They were not very subtle about some of the naming schemes for these guys, especially in first generation.
Yeah. Sawamura actually had a manga based off him back in the 70s, written by a fairly prolific manga author of the time, Iki Kajiwara. Huh. Who also did things like Tiger Mask and Ashitano Joe.
That's why I recognize that name. Okay.
Yep. But yeah, he also did a kickboxing manga about a fictionalized version of Tadashi Sawamura. And it had the beautiful name Kick No Oni.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. I just remember the Japanese or the the Japanese names for Kadabra and Alakazam were very obviously based on magicians. That's why Kadabra had to be taken out of the Pokemon card game because Yuri Geller actually sued.
Eventually, he rescinded that and was just like, "Please stop." Please let him back in.
Okay. Yeah, that was just in the past 2 or 3 years, too. That was...
Yeah, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because due to the particular game font used in the Game Boy games, the katakana V and N looked really similar. So they just took the Ri in Yuri Gela and changed it to an N to make Yungelar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very obviously.
Yeah, so it was approximately in 2020 that Yuri Geller was he issued an apology and authorized use of, authorized cards of Kadabra to happen.
Which is why I still haven't found one, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just not in the meta anymore.
But it is, actually.
Oh god!
Sure it is. I mean, I haven't been able to get one in a pack, partly because the scalpers have been really bad for the last 5 years.
I just lost to one a few hours ago, actually. Well, Alakazam, but they have to play a Kadabra to get there.
No, I mean for about 2 decades, all you had to have was an Abra and an Alakazam. They let the card game let you go from one to the next without bothering.
There's all sorts of support cards that are designed to jump you evolution stages anyway.
Yeah, rare candies.
Handy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
I need more story time for context here. David, go back and tell me more about Tiger Mask.
Okay, so Tiger Mask was was one of the most beloved pro wrestling gimmicks in Japan. Originally based off of a manga by, again, Iki Kajiwara. Tiger Mask was the story of an orphan child who ran away from the orphanage to join the evil Tiger's Den. And came back as a tremendously violent heel professional wrestler who eventually, through his attempt to do right by the children of the orphanage he left behind, become the hero. The gimmick of Tiger Mask was then taken up by an actual wrestler, and there's been a Tiger Mask floating around Japanese pro wrestling for most of the last 50 years.
One of them ran for a city council position and won and had a legal battle to determine whether or not he could wear the mask to the city council. Also, I'd like to point out that the Dragon's Den in Romancing Saga 2 is directly influenced by
it's
this manga.
Definitely the Tiger's Den, yeah.
It is aside from the fact that every single martial arts hero in Romancing Saga 2 is named after a professional wrestler from the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, the entire thing is very much based on Tiger Mask.
The original...
All right, well, this is all real... interesting. Go ahead.
The original real life Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, is also very important in Japanese pro wrestling history because he was the one who took it from open secret to writing a book saying, yeah, all those matches were fake.
Ooh.
But he broke kayfabe.
Yeah, like he annihilated kayfabe all at once in Japan. Yeah, it's a
true heel.
Sayama would, I believe, end up helping to found. Yes, he ended up founding essentially Japan's first MMA company, Shooto. Which Shooto is, if you know anything about pro wrestling and how Japanese is written, it is just taking the pro wrestling slang for actually fighting someone, shooting on them, and turning it into a Japanese verb, shuto.
Yeah, also, shuto was a pro wrestling term for it, going acting straight, I think. Like, breaking character because you really meant it.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. When you're actually trying to hurt someone, you're shooting on them.
But, supposedly, usually it was just another part of the act.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I only know this because the 3DS games, was it Hero Bank? Shuto as one of the mechanics.
But yeah, Shuto would end up being essentially Japan's first mixed martial arts organization.
I ask all this is, golly, I guess it was about 5 years ago. Speaking of the Dragon's Den, that's where I meet a lot of my Dragon Quest people. but on the boards of the Dragon's Den, guy shows up, Tiger Mask is his username, and he's translating the Game Boy Advance version of the Corneco Mystery Dungeon game.
Ooh.
And what this, in getting chatting with him, he's like, oh yeah, I can hack Game Boy Advance pretty well. He did a wrestling game for Game Boy Advance and did the whole fan translation for it earlier. And then he's like, so, you know, but I'm a big Dragon Quest fan, so I thought I'd do this one. I think he put in some part-time work for a year and didn't ever get any farther.
I mean, that's a lot of work, but yeah.
Yeah. But in talking with him, because I had him on Slime Time, come to find out that he was a semi-pro wrestler in England, where he grew up, and we were like actually finding during the podcast with him, finding some really grainy stuff from like the 90s and early 2000s of him wrestling. Although I do not believe he went by Tiger Mask there. That was just his
Yeah, I feel like you would probably get sued no matter how small time you tried to be.
Yep.
I mean, if you're that far removed from Japan and doing it, then they probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, I don't think this guy was ever making any money on it from the videos we were.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an old joke about being a like indie pro wrestler that you're that your normal paycheck is going to be a hot dog and a handshake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember going to some stuff at the VFW and whatever when I was young, and I'm sure that's about what they got paid.
Yeah, no, you'll get you will get some. You're going to spend a lot of time working for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I think our local city hall. I'm trying to think. Maybe because I don't go to the front of our community much anymore, but they used to have wrestling once a month or so.
Yeah, that's the kind of, like.
Our city hall has a big gymnasium there. It's where we vote. It's where.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say where at city hall, like in the
I will say at this point, our city hall is the end all be all of our little town here on the edge of civilization outside of Central Florida. They just built a fire station onto the
Florida,
end of it. Because,
Florida. Civilization is pretty.
You're stretching
which
the
beat 'em up
there.
Game was it? Which beat 'em up game was it where one of the characters was actually the mayor of the city, except he never wore a shirt and just had a sash on?
That's Final Fight.
Final Fight, thank you. I'm remembering this old webcomic where it was mostly all about like ridiculous portrayals of incredibly buff guys in video games. But at one point it was showing the American, or it was a joke on the American presidential debates. Except it was M. Bison versus the guy from Final Fight. And in the debate, the mayor from Final Fight was going, "Ask not if you are a bad enough dude to save the president, but ask is the president a bad enough dude to save you?" I'm like, this is...
But that's bad.
That's all I'm thinking right now, because pro wrestling and City Hall, it's the only thing I can think of.
There you go. There's your connection.
I'm going to bring all of this full circle in the worst way in human history.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got two points that I wish to connect. First, Mike Hager would find his way into the pro wrestling fighting game Capcom produced Saturday Night Slam Master. Slam Masters, known in Japan by its significantly better title, Muscle Bomber the Body Explosion.
wow.
where he would be Macho Mike Hager, making him an obvious like Macho Man homage / pastiche. The other thing is that Hager would one of the big old gaijin that would show up for Japanese pro wrestling and MMA events in the early 2000s, Don Fry, showed up in a Final Fight fan film in 2018 to play Mike Hager. And if you have ever seen Don Fry, it's like, nope, that's perfect. That makes absolute sense.
He may have been the inspiration.
No, he's too late to have been the inspiration. He was a late 90s, early 2000s guy, because he was in, like, Pride. But... Yeah, if you ever look up a picture of Don Fry, it's like the kind of guy who was born to play Mike Hager. He showed up in some like a lot of big white dudes that showed up in Japanese MMA and pro wrestling. He sort of showed up and just played a big imposing guy who didn't even like cut promos in Japanese. He would cut them in like simple English, like "I am bigger and stronger than you. I'm going to beat the hell out of you." Like those would be his entire promo.
Nice.
Yes, this guy really does look the part.
Yeah, no, that is just what Don Fry looks like.
Okay, hang on, Wheels. I'm turning in that Flabebe quest, and then we can trade.
I mean, just back and forth between the game character and him, they could not have chosen a better lookalike.
Yep.
This is ridiculous.
That is just what Don Fry looks like.
Oh, the other thing that just happened in Pokemon is I went down the wrong alley and I got attacked by a real piece of shit, a real piece of garbage. It was a Garbodor.
Garbodor, yep.
Went down the wrong alley, let me tell you. And there he is.
Did you get, like,
like fucking mean mugged by a gigantic, like an alpha Garbodor, because I've had that happen.
It almost happened, but then he used self-destruct. So
even better.
This piece of garbage blew himself up, and then he actually stayed in the Pokeball, and it's like, well, he's level 39. It's like, okay.
Garbodor.
Yeah, I say, I guess you can be part of the team. Why not?
He's mine now.
Is he going to listen to you? You strong enough yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I can, up to level 60, will obey me.
Oh.
No, he seems kind of trashy
big
for
man.
Your team.
He's kind of trashy.
But I don't want to waste the time of our valuable Dragon Quest correspondent. Do we want to talk about the thing that just came out that caused us to make sure he was here?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say, the reason I am not strong enough to catch the Pokemons that are level 60 and such is because of right before Pokemon came out, I got the review code for Dragon Quest 1 and 2, the HD 2D.
Dragon Quest 1 and... plus 2 high definition 2-dimensional remake.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely got editing notes that you do realize you've not consistently called this the same thing throughout your review. I was like, whoops. There's just so many letters. So many.
I just like actually like pulling that out to its entire, like, that is the awkward title that they've given this. Dragon Quest 1 plus 2 high definition 2-dimensional remake.
They just needed to put some alliterative subtitles in there, and it really would have just, you know.
What if they had never put, gonna like, touch... like Dragon Quest 1 plus Dragon Quest 2 Legendaries of the Luminary Line high definition 2-dimensional remake?
Listen, at that point, you're approaching Dragon Quest Heroes, the Blight, what is it, the World Tree's Woe and the Blight Below.
Woe and the Blight Below.
Yep. You know, nothing, I don't think they're ever going to go that big again, but was always awesome.
Howard.
But I've asked this before, what is the difference between regular trash and S-trash?
Infinity trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Trash. What does it even mean?
Like, we've explained Strash to you before, and it is not a satisfying answer, I promise.
Oh, okay.
It is a strong slash. It's strong. It's S tier, man.
That's it? Oh. Well, that's probably why I forgot, because it was strong. So anticlimactic, and then I just blotted it out.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure
that makes
it.
More sense in Japanese.
It's because it's a portmanteau that works a bit better in katakana. Because there's a more obvious overlap between Sutoronga and Surashi.
Yeah.
I will say my knowledge of it comes from reading the fan translation of Dai many years ago, and they would just have pages where they opine about what they're going to call things. And they went back and forth about calling it just Slash or whatever. Because, you know, in the Dragon Quest games, you have Fire Slash and whatever, so they were just going to leave it at that, but then...
Listen, this is roughly equivalent to Giga Slash, right?
Yeah. But then they realized that, you know, they were not calling it. They're like, yeah, the Japanese does not match what you would see in the Japanese version of the video game, so they're doing their own thing, so... Here we are in Volume 4,
like,
we're going
to
change it again.
It's be the same thing, so it has to have a different name.
Yep.
Because it's the character's special move.
And, you know, he gets like 97 different strashes throughout the series.
I'll take S-trash for 400. No, Mr. Connery, that's strash.
So tell us about your opinions of Dragon Quest 1 plus Dragon Quest 2 Legendaries of the Luminary Line High Definition 2-Dimensional Remake.
It's a very high definition. It is a very high definition, two-dimensional remake. It is beautiful. You know, obviously it's the same as
they were able to reuse a lot of assets from that end of DQ3.
Oh yes. They did shrink. Actually, you know what? It's probably copy and pasted the same size into the Dragon Quest II world. It's a little bit bigger in Dragon Quest I because that's all you got is that continent.
You gotta want it. You gotta love it.
You gotta want it. You know what? I can just start by saying Dragon Quest II, absolute perfection. That is, on its own, an amazing Dragon Quest game. Like, even if you've never played it before.
It's not something anyone would have said about the prior Dragon Quest IIs.
Nope. I don't think, you know, no praise has been heaped upon that other than, you know, it was probably pretty good to do multi-party back in 1985.
Like, it was very innovative for the time, and it's like, oh, I don't want to play this.
Nope. And, you know, forever and ever, if I want feel the urge, which maybe I will now, feel the urge to play Dragon Quest II again, this will be the version. The voice acting is amazing. You've got the four cousins this time, not just three cousins. The two young...
In the original, you had the three characters, which feels really weird if you go back and play Dragon Quest II at any point after Dragon Quest II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know what? The original Dragon Quest V had three characters.
It's true, but you also could fill out the party to four.
Oh, well, I mean, you had a wagon, monsters. You could have tons of people. Yeah. You had monsters, you had human characters that would join. Funny to do. But no, they redid this. They added the Prince of Canok's sister, who in the original, I didn't remember this, was just some sprite in the castle, like, I'm too young to adventure, mommy won't let me go, or something like that. In this game, she does, and I thought the way she joined was pretty cool. It was at a plot point that made a lot of sense. She's not with you the whole game, but she's there for the most part, you know.
Dragon Quest II has plot points now, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It plot points. All these characters go through... Yes, and the characters go through growth. Like, the Princess of Moonbrook is totally... You know, the beginning of the game, it just didn't spoil anything for Dragon Quest II. Moonbrook gets destroyed. And this game opens with that as a cutscene. So... The first parts of the game have always been, you're the Prince of Middenhall, you need to go, you hear, a palace guard from Moonbrook comes and just dies at your feet and says, you know, Moonbrook's been destroyed. Your dad's like, hey, go get your cousin and go see what's going on over there. Well, that takes hours because you're going back and forth trying to find this Prince of Canek, who's also trying to find you. So you're going back and forth from like a cave and two different towns and a castle. And eventually when you get to Moonbrook, you do find the whole thing has been destroyed. In this one, the princess goes through a whole character arc of like wanting revenge and then, you know, the power of friendship and all that kind of stuff. Maybe revenge isn't the only way.
Moonbrook is the friends you made along the way?
The real Moonbrook.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Simpson, why do you want to be a big brother? Don't say revenge. Don't say revenge. Revenge! That's it. I'm out of here. Yeah.
So, I mean, and yeah, the new Princess of Canek has a character arc throughout the game, and she's kind of like the voice of reason. She'll even tell people that, you know, maybe revenge isn't the best bet. She acts like female Torneko to Loon. She can do some just ignore you in battle sometimes and do some weird stuff, tell a joke, get them to the enemies to laugh, whatever. She's a Dragon Quest III jester. It everything felt way improved. There was reasons to go to these places. There was reasons to do things. And I mean, if you, like me, know Dragon Quest II like the back of your hand, everything's somewhere different. As a matter of fact, I sent a message to Square Enix like, okay, I did something wrong because I have not obtained these items and I should have had them 10 hours ago in game time. And then before I got the message back over the weekend, I'd put 12 more hours in and figured out what I needed to do. I was like, oh, wow, that's way later. That's completely kind of different here than what the original game is. Whereas Dragon Quest 1 kind of puffs up the story and puts some stuff around it. Dragon Quest 2 is just, man, it is... It's got DQ1, just plain out new
DQ1, stuff. DQ1, you can tell that they're kind of chafing with, like, they want to build it up. There just isn't that much there, and there's not much you can do to it. But I do appreciate the additional dungeons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they involve... They take a lot from Dragon Quest 3. And put it in the game as well they should, because it's not even a secret anymore. Hey, 3 was the prequel to 1. So the way they released these over the past year, it's, hey, here's 3. Play it in chronological game order.
So they've tried to turn this into more of a trilogy.
it was definitely a trilogy to begin with.
Much more than Zenithian was.
Yeah, like this is them trying to make it like feel more like a trilogy. That's like it is always fascinating to me that because of how popular 3 is and how 1 sits in this, like 1 ends up as just like the weird middle chapter of its of the franchise that it started.
Very true. Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting, like, I definitely feel like, you know, this is always the drum I want to beat, that I would hope that they will try to find better ways to keep the Famicom and Super Famicom versions of DQ 1 through 3 in circulation. But this is a very, like, DQ 1 and 2 especially are much more thorough remakes than DQ 3.
Oh yeah, DQ 3 was.
I mean, well, did they ever expect otherwise?
Lots of subplots.
Yeah, I didn't know what they had no desire to really expand heavily upon. Whereas 1 and 2, they really took the chance to, like, these are very different games, and they will give you a very different experience than the original versions.
Completely. Now, I will say I chafed a little bit at the Dragon Quest 1, and if you look around the reviews of these games, they're reviewed together. You can see my review, 4 out of 5, and I mention the battle difficulty and the changes to 1. I know. You look at RPG Fan, and it mentions they gave it an 80, which I was like, oh my gosh. And Zach Wilkerson, I know him through, I podcasted with him, I think, once, and I love Mike Solosi and the show that they used to do together over there on RPG Fan. But looking at IGN, a lot of it mentions the difficulty in 1. And it's interesting now, following along with all my Dragon Quest friends that have been playing it for the past 5 days, most of them are playing it on the highest difficulty level. I'm like, yeah, bless you guys.
I don't know why you're doing that, but okay.
Yep, you know, and they're enjoying it. Oh, I love this. I love strategizing and everything. I'll be honest, they, you know, every now and then I'll see, oh man, this boss is bullshit, I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. I actually didn't have a problem with the bosses. I didn't even mention the bosses being hard in mine. I was able to then, you know, strategize, put on different equipment, whatever. For me, it was just the random encounters throughout the game. About hour 6 or 7, you're approaching level 17, and level 17 is where you get your second healing spell. And before that, there were just battles that you're gated out from. There's no way to win these battles. You're encountering you're encountering 5 enemies, or worse still, whereas when you encountered 3 enemies, and they were part of 2 different enemy groups, so if you were going to cast like fire spells like Sizz, you couldn't hit all 3 at once. You'd hit the 2 that are in one group, but not the other one, the way it is. Mm-hmm. And 2 of those 3 enemies get 2 attacks. So you're fighting 3 people that have 5 attacks per turn. And the other guy, who doesn't have 5 attacks, can do status stuff like put you to sleep, confuse you, paralyze you. There were battles that I would go back 10 levels later, just random battle in the desert in the southwest, and I would still lose. Like, I would lose in 2 rounds. And I'm like, what the heck, man?
That's an action economy issue.
It is. Oh,
yeah, you
completely.
Really have to, like, it really does put emphasis on, like, maybe you should have a boomerang around, even if you aren't, in case.
In your turn, you can switch equipment any turn without any penalty. So that's
very good.
That is very good.
If you need it.
Yep. But, I mean, here I am, level 17, just finally getting the second healing spell, and then at the same time, at this point, the boomerang that did pretty good a few levels before, it's not all that great anymore. And the edged boomerang is like a mini metal surprise or something like that. Or maybe in a chest somewhere.
Also, hey, there are mini metals now.
Oh yes, there are mini metals.
Of course there are.
They've got the castle. Bifu is the second one that I like looked at the total number of mini metals at the end, and I had maybe half of them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been using the Snoop spell and the Nose for Treasure. In the game, Nose for Treasure will tell you how many on whatever level you are, if you're in a town, if you're inside a building, or if you're on a level of a dungeon, you use that. It'll tell you how many treasures there are. And by treasures, it doesn't mean just treasure chests. It means glowing spots on the floor or breakable pots with something in it. And if you use the Snoop spell, it'll actually light them up. It'll light them up on the mini map. It'll light them up on your map. I was like, man, I thought I did really good.
There's also an accessibility option to just automatically do that.
Is there?
I think so.
Wait, no. What's the accessibility for? It's...
Let me check the...
There is, you're right. There is something for turning on...
Yeah, I'm checking the options.
Oh, you know what it is? Okay, you turn it on, and it will put on the map where pots that you can break and barrels that you can look in are on the map. That's the accessibility option. If you turn that in, you'll know what pot has something in it. Like, if you're walking up to a pot to smash it open, and it's not red or little red dot or something on your mini map, then it's not going to have anything in it.
Okay.
I think
that you can choose whether or not to display secret spots or treasure chest locations separately.
But even then, I don't think all the secret spots are there. Like, there's just some that are completely random. Like, unless you stood on that one tile and searched.
That's a DQ1-2 tradition.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Yep. But they backport in some abilities now that you can do that. I just found Dragon Quest 1, I don't know, it just didn't work for me as well with all that. Then they had some truly bizarre stuff. After you get the 5 sigils, which is something from Dragon Quest 2, that was the MacGuffins in Dragon Quest 2. You had to go around the world to get the 5 sigils to then open the path to the final area. But they backported them into Dragon Quest 1, and they gave them all abilities. They have passive abilities now. You find one, and if you defend in battle, you gain some magic points back. Or another one sometimes makes your spells go haywire and, you know, basically be critical hit spells. And there's 5 of these. Well, in Dragon Quest 1, the location you do this at, you go back there later towards the end of the game, and it's an item creation place. Kind of like alchemy. They're like, we'll make something. If I noticed in my key item pouch, I had all these weird things that I'm like, what? Why am I collecting something silk? Like, I can't sell it. It's in my key item area, whatever. Towards the end of the game, I go to this area. They're like, oh, do you want to trade that in? And, like, that silk might make you a tangle web, which is, like, sold for 40 gold at a place or something.
Just a worthless object.
They were all worthless objects. I'm like, I have everything that I could make here. I've already got 10 or 20. And I've got, like, 80,000 gold in the bank. I could just buy 100 of these anyway. It was a very weird kind of hacked on kind of thing. What's funny is I keep posting about it in one of my Dragon Quest forums, and people every day are like, oh, cool, I haven't saw that yet. And nope. When they do, they're like, wait a minute, what's the point of this? I'm like, it's... Somebody thought about it and then maybe forgot it till the end and threw it in there, and it seems kind of weird. Like, why not? If you're going to give somebody a strong medicine, why find an item to then make them go have to trade it in for a strong medicine? Just give them a stinking strong medicine. But no, I actually didn't mind the bosses and the way they... I mean, there were some pretty rough bosses here. Like, bosses that could heal, bosses that could keep summoning enemies, enemies that would heal the boss. Like, oh my gosh. And you're just this one person. And Gaijin, you said it, the economy of the number of turns you get, you know, just wasn't there always. But I really didn't have a problem with the boss fights. It was just the random stuff I'd run into. I once ran into 7 liquid metal slimes. That was fun.
Yeah!
That is fun.
you know,
I will bring up the level cap.
They will run away first.
Version.
Oh no! They all knew what they had. There was one of me. They all cast Frizz or Sizz, and I was dead by the second round.
That owns.
Because I sure as hell wasn't killing any of them in one turn or two.
The hunter has become the hunted motherfucker.
Oh, it definitely
is. I was going to say, there's at least one episode of the Legend of Abel anime that is very much like that.
You know, dream encounter in any other Dragon Quest game, there it was, reload to save.
It's fucking you up.
It sure was. I mean, you know, and I say all this, but is it an amazing version of the game? It sure is.
It's definitely an interesting version to come back to if you've played the other versions. Like it is a remake with some value to people who have already played Dragon Quest 1 and 2 to death.
Yeah, and you know what, David, I quote you all the time on remakes and how remakes should have something new to say. You say that all the time, and I quote you on that all the time. And as I'm playing this, I'm thinking this one has something new to say. This definitely has value in itself.
Mm.
All that said, if I wanted to go back and play Dragon Quest 1 again, there was an excellent fan version about 2 years ago that came out called Dragon Quest Plus. And it did some of the things that were in this game, added some awesome post-game content and just new areas on the map throughout. I just really loved it. And in no way am I biased by the fact that my name appears in the game, but, you know.
Only players.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure if you're in Cole, somebody will tell you about an adventurer named Platy that did something.
Yeah, he probably did something at some point. Who can say?
Having interviewed Nightfly, the guy who worked for 12 years on that game, off and on, I believe it was made in RPG Maker 2003.
Oh my god!
There was a time when that was like the version that had the most script support. So that one lasted for a very long time.
Yeah. So I mean, I think when like 2009, 2010, he starts thinking about doing this. He's like, "Well, I'm gonna obviously make it in this and finish it in a year or two." And you know, by 2022, when we interviewed him when it came out, and I was doing some beta testing for him, and he was making hot fixes. Like, there was a couple weekends I'd just be playing it for a couple hours, send him some stuff, and within 3 hours, he'd be like, here's your save fix for that, and reinstall this version and keep going.
Yeah, no, sometimes that's just how development goes.
Yep. But no, these are excellent games, like I said, you know, and I'm finding so many Dragon Quest fans that are playing the first one on tough difficulty and not bitching at all and just having a, like, I've died 50 times. I'm having a blast.
It's for them. Like, they want a version of DQ that can still surprise them, and this is a version that can still surprise them.
Oh, that it will surprise you. So, I did, I know the, who is it? The editor, the video game editor of Screen Rant, and him and I have gotten to the fact, to the point where we know when we're reviewing games and can text each other about the Dragon Quests, because he's a huge Dragon Quest person too. And we met up for lunch during our review period of this game, and just both of us were like, okay, we're kind of wimpy players. Like, Dragon Quest 1 is kicking our butt.
Time to play some Dragon Quest.
I only had to put I will say, I did go down to Dracky Quest once, and it was where the destroyed town, you've got that knight abhorrent or whatever that's there, and I encountered him way too early in my adventure. And I was like, you know what, I'm actually doing pretty decent against him. I'm close. I don't want to have to keep coming back here. Let's just Dracky Quest this and move on. But everyone else, and I am starting to see people finish it now, you know, when did this come out? 5 days ago. Starting to see some of my friends finish it, and the ones that are finishing it on normal difficulty are right where I was.
Yeah, one of my friends just finished DQ1.
Nice. Tomorrow night I'll be recording Slime Time all about this and talking more about it.
But does anyone get slime time done Slime Time? Sorry.
No. Next week we'll actually have to probably spend some time talking about Stray Children, but me and Wheels haven't played it yet.
Haha!
That would probably be a good thing to do before you talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone here has played plenty of it, but we wouldn't.
Yes,
we wouldn't be able to have a discussion.
I confirmed last weekend that my copy now plays in English.
Nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Did they update it or?
Yeah, since it came out in English, they just updated the Japanese.
I didn't see any update information. So, I'm not sure when it updated. It just did.
Magic.
Especially since I had something else running on it continuously the entire time period, so I really, really don't know when this thing updated.
God only knows.
The Switch will know. Is it on Switch?
Yeah, it's on Switch.
Yeah, it's a Switch game.
Yeah, I wake my Switch up from sleep.
Okay.
And it's got
I had a game in a cartridge in and on and running. And so anytime you bring it up, it says, oh, there are updates. Do you want to close the game or keep going? I would just put the update for later. Except no, there are any updates for the game update. I would play it.
Update.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If a game is within your within your 10 most recently played, any updates for it will download automatically in the background.
Oh, okay.
It's only going to bug you about like restarting the system for system updates.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Explains that then.
But DQ1 2 HD, very very nice. I'm playing the Switch 2 version. Looks and runs very nice.
Yep, that's what I played it on. It was excellent.
Yeah,
I would have liked to compare the two, but you know.
But they made the choices they made. Also, I'm not sure what frame rate that the performance mode is running at, but it's very high. Like very high.
Much like you, I can't really see it, so 30 or 60. Especially with sprite movement,
I can see it in sprite movement very, very well. Okay. It's just I'm debating whether is it 60 or is it higher?
Oh wow. Where's the Digital Foundry video on Dragon Quest Plus 2?
Yeah, let's see. Okay, yeah, the performance mode is running at 60. It looks nice either way, but it also doesn't really need to run at 60, so it very much is a preference kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I played on Switch 2. Loved every minute, except when I was dying. I will say, I died. I started keeping track after a while. I want to estimate that I died 50 times in the first game.
Wow.
Party wipes.
Well, it's...
Whereas Dragon...
Party wipe is one person. Can you really call it a party wipe?
I mean, the party... The party, such
dying.
As it is, did wipe.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Feel free to add such as it is, but it was a party wipe. And listen, I had to choose whether I was going to restart from a save or, do that battle again. Or, and I will tell you, I probably died that many times because you could just redo the battle immediately. And there were many times that I was stubbornly like, F this, I can do this. And I could not. Or, like I said, there were so many stinking random encounters that I would just die and be like, whatever. I just hit A, hit auto, let it go. I'm just going to die anyway. And I'll reload from the last battle because it auto saves after everything you do. You walk in a door, it auto saves. You get in a battle. You exit a battle, it auto saves. So, you know. 20, 30 steps, you get in another battle, you lose. you just rewind it, basically. It was not horrible at all. So with that, I stubbornly banged my head against the wall, probably more than I would have normally. If I was getting sent back to town with half my gold every single time, I would not have suffered through 50 deaths.
Verily, I'm done for.
I'm in danger. Oh, let me tell you, I loved the famous quote has a little subversion in it a couple times. you will see
but
fun.
Thou must.
But thou must. Yep.
I can't believe my dog costume disappeared during this cutscene.
Oh, dear God. You know what? That effing dog costume. So, yes, I was texting my buddy who was also reviewing it, and we were debating how bad it looked. Not that it's that bad, but after, you know, 5 hours in the same outfit of looking like a dog, I'm like, I just want to look like the
because
Dragon
it's
Quest
so
Hero
much
again.
It is so much more defense than you have at any other context right at the beginning of the game.
It is. You have to go deep into the game. I mean, it's a 15-hour game, and that armor's the best for about 5 of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, so Dragon Quest I being 15 hours should tell you how much they expanded this, because that is not a long game.
No, that should have been like an 8 hours, 7-8 hour game for people who.
Yeah, they have roughly doubled its playtime.
And I think one of my comments, I put it in my review too. Like, it's kind of amazing that by adding all this, they still left the frickin' grind in there. I know when I got to the Dragon Lord and I lost.
The level cap is way higher.
Oh, it's way, way, way higher. I don't know what it is. I know people are in
I know
the
40s it's more
and 50s
than 50.
Easily. Okay, I would assume it's more than 50.
Yeah. And, like, I think in the original game it's 30?
Yes. Yeah, someone asked me that just today, and I was like, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'll spoiler tag it and put it here's the level I beat it at the normal. So I think you're going to need quite a few more for the hard quest, Draconian quest, so... Good luck.
I do like that, like, there's a very, there's something that, like, I'm sure is gone in this version and has been gone for several versions, but original Dragon Quest II is fucked up because different characters have different level caps in that.
That makes no sense.
Probably, yeah, probably is not a problem in this one.
Yeah, I'm convinced that, like, there's no, like, I think that disappeared with the Super Famicom remake, but original DQ2, to my recall, different characters have different, like, level caps. Like, I think only the protagonist gets to level 30. But it's a weird game. Bring back Dragon Quest II and make everyone write down, like, 64 character passwords.
Oh. That was also the game that was released under a time crunch, and they did not have the time to playtest and scale the end part of that game.
Yeah, well, and you can feel it, because that end game really just feels like throwing yourself into the grinder until at some point you survive.
And, you know, F you if you're walking around that last... I guess it's not even a continent, but the last area, and you've got people with instant death spells out there nailing you. That was always fun. I will say something else they do in Dragon Quest II this time. There's a boss gauntlet at the end, and it is what it is in Dragon Quest II. But those bosses are prevalent throughout the entire game this time. They're antagonists. They're not just a gauntlet towards the end for no reason. They have personality. They've all got their own voice actors. They added a different one. I'm trying to even think what happened, because they added one. It's even in all the preview materials. It looks like one of the bosses from Dragon Quest XI. But it's awesome that you know, like 8 hours into the game, or you're like talking to one of them and doing a battle, and they're like, we'll see you some other time or something. And I'm like, whoa, mm-hmm. that's obviously way different than when you just kind of randomly encounter them. So again, like characterization with the character, characterization with the bosses throughout, like just having multiple bosses. Wow, Dragon Quest I's got half a dozen or more different sub bosses all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so much connection to the Dragon Quest III and then followed through. One thing that I had to go back and I was like, this seems a little weird. Now, the title of Erdrick, who you in Dragon Quest III, you get that title, they call you Erdrick, and they refer to you, you know, you got Erdrick's armor and Erdrick's sword and everything and all the other games. In Dragon Quest II, they flat out say Erdrick a million times, referring to the Dragon Quest I hero. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I guess technically, because he was the hero of his time period. So yes, but I mean, they've never used that terminology before to refer to the Dragon Quest I hero.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, yeah, it's weird. It's definitely an artifact of, like, DQ1 being retrofitted into being an interquel.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, back then, they didn't know that that was the way they were going to go.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they had this thought that if we get to do three games, maybe we'll do this, but, I mean...
Yeah, I remember... I've never tried it myself, but I seem to recall DQ3 and basically all versions, if you try to enter Loto or Erdrick, depending upon your version, it'll basically say, no, enter your real name.
Yeah. Oh, something people are finding out that I was not willing to try. I was like, well, not that I was not willing, but I never do anyway. In the first game, at one point, you rescue the princess. That's a big plot point in the first game.
Good old Gwaelun.
And yes, when you get Gwaelun, you carry her around. That's you rescue her from a muddy swamp. Yeah. I didn't realize, because I thought I had to go back to the king for something in this version. And you drop her off with Daddy, and she actually has, like, plot throughout the story. Like, she's not just, hey, rescue the princess, drop that sprite off, never hear from her again. She's got plot in this version. But I've got friends going through, because you could in the original, you could actually bring her to the
dragon.
Yeah,
I was wondering, are they testing if you can skip her?
You can continue on with her forever. You don't have to go. And there are cutscenes galore. I've been seeing people screenshotting cutscenes with her throughout. That, oh my gosh. And I'm like, wow, I never saw that. I never saw that. I never saw that. Wow, they actually, you know, more than just a throwaway line from the Dragon Lord in the original.
Yeah, like I had the friend I was watching stream the ending had brought Gwaelun all the way there.
Oh, nice. So he got some...
Politely sitting in the background of the final boss fight.
Oh, yeah, she just sits there off to the side. That was great. And I think also when you carry her through caves, she's the one holding the torch.
You're sitting like that.
Yep.
She might not be a fighter, but she's not trying not to help.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, if you're going to carry me, I might as well carry, you know, what normally would be in your hand.
Yeah.
So, maybe I will have to play through it again, or watch a good YouTube video. Give it a few weeks. Yeah.
I'm sure
hey,
in a few weeks,
what are all the Gwaelun cutscenes?
Yeah, I'm sure in a few weeks, like, whatever passes for, like, Dragon Quest, like, nerd YouTube will have, like, here's 15 Easter eggs you didn't notice in Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD.
Oh, yep, you know what, I remember putting that, was it last Thursday when it released, I was like, I can't wait for all you guys to tell me everything that I didn't understand or I miss. Rushing through this game for review.
That's always the rough part of doing a review.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. And, you know, now I don't know if it's a day one patch or something that, because it was day one patch, but I swear I couldn't get the granular. So with the difficulty levels, the way it was in Dragon Quest III, 2DHD, if you turned it on Draki Quest, you were fully healed and got your MP filled every time you leveled up. Also, you could not die. That was an option that was permanently on. If you did Dragon Quest, the middle difficulty, you know, it balanced stuff out normally. The do not die slider was off, but the slider was on for gaining all your HP and MP back at the level up. And if you played on the Draconian level, neither of those happened. Apparently with this one, you can actually go in and be like, oh, I want to play at the easier level, but party death is still a thing.
Interesting, because so like I know that they turn do you heal on level up into its own toggle as well.
Yeah, and I swear when I was reviewing it, I could not fiddle with those toggles. I'm like, why are these toggles if I can't actually toggle them? Like, so I don't know. Maybe
why are they here? What do you do?
Yeah, how do you? I'm like, I see the toggles, and if I change the difficulty level, it definitely moves them, but like, how can I move them independently of that? But apparently you can now. Multiple people have told me, oh yeah, I can, you know, I'm playing on Draki level, but I did turn on deaths, so there is a sense of worry. Like, everybody's a little bit easier, but if I don't, you know, I can't just screw around and hit auto all the time. I did really... I was looking back at my notes for my first impressions of Dragon Quest III, and one complaint I had is, I'll be honest, I try to get through all the scrub battles on auto. You know, I if I don't have to type in a million commands or go through stuff for fighting
an infinite number of...
Yeah. But I got to a point in Dragon Quest III where I learned the Zapple, the full party or the full enemy lightning spell. And no matter how low I set my AI aggressiveness, my hero would use that spell and run out of MP in like 4 battles. Like, just stop using that spell. Like, go back to what you were doing. It has been fine for 25 hours. Why do you have to frickin' go crazy with the lightning now? And in Dragon Quest 1 and 2, you can go to your spells and ability list and literally just click it off as in terms of their tactics. So, you don't want someone to be casting Thwack all the time? Because what the hell, that never works? Just turn that off. You can turn that off in the auto. So that actually was really great, because when I went to grind, I was like, I want to grind here for a while. I don't want to ruin my MP so much. Because I will say, and I think I did comment on this a little bit, in my review, the AI, even when you're like, fight wisely or whatever, it wants to use abilities and spells all the time. The monster's like, its name's in red, which means it's like below 10 or 20%.
There's like points. Yeah, there's no reason to be using your strong skills when it's named in red.
Yeah, or it would just be still like casting Sizz or something, which is like 5 magic points. But I'm like, you didn't need to cast Sizz, just attack. I spent 10,000 gold on that damn lance of yours.
I know for a fact that does damage.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I, it's not an insignificant amount. Sure, Sizz will do it to more, but this is... So, I was annoyed multiple times at them using abilities that could not be doing a better job than just a regular attack would have done. I was like, I just want that regular attack. I guess I gotta do it myself. Or turn on the don't use MP AI.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate turning that on, because the big reason to keep AI on at least some characters in Dragon Quest is it'll adapt battle stuff mid-round. Especially having your healer on AI is amazing. Because, you know, you go, you put in all your commands, I didn't realize, you know, the second attack was going to critically damage my guy down to 5 hit points. And if you're just inputting all your commands yourself, you better hope you survive that entire round and that your healer goes fast enough the next round to heal that guy before he gets killed. If you leave the healer on the AI, it adapts moment by moment and will heal that person. So, I've always enjoyed having my healer, at least, in Dragon Quest, fully AI.
Yeah, sure you do get an actual bonus just by dint of them being allowed to make decisions after the turn starts.
Correct. That's, yes. And I'll be honest, like, going back and playing these old games, I've put, like, 150 hours into Dragon Quest X offline. I've put 100-plus easily into Dragon Quest XI. Those are the last mainline games I've played before going back and replaying these. And both of those, you pick your action when it's your turn. Like, there's no input all the actions at the beginning of a turn. They are moment by moment. And so I've kind of, and a lot of games are like that. A lot of turn-based games are like that these days. They don't have the, hey, put in all your commands first and then let's see what happens.
I was going to say, there aren't that many that actually do that anymore. I know Metal Max still did up through fairly recently, but I couldn't think of any other turn-based games that don't do actual turn-by-turn instead of everyone at once, or everyone put stuff in at once.
Yeah, so, you know what? I've gotten spoiled, even by Dragon Quest. Modern Dragon Quest doesn't do it, so going back to that, I'm like, oh, man. Time to use the AI more, so I don't freaking get destroyed.
That would have been something nice to put into the remix. Like, I remember we talked about that for 3.
Yep. For 3, yep. I really wish they did that. Like, okay, I know you're remaking the games, you're modernizing a lot. Can we modernize the battle system a little bit?
Nope. It's what they did for the Saga, Romancing Saga 2 remake. It's one of the best parts of it.
Oh yeah, I listened to you guys talk all about those. That it is much improved. One day I will get back to that one.
You should. It's very, very good.
So there you go. There's your Dragon Quest 1 plus 2 HD 2D.
Yay.
Luminary line.
Dragon Quest 1 plus Dragon Quest 2 Legendaries of the Luminary Line High Definition 2-dimensional remake.
I started messing around with 1 when I picked it up, but I've never finished any version of 2. I should just do that one.
You should do both. You got time.
Yeah.
I like how you casually say yeah. How many games does Wheels finish?
Zero. I just finished Hades 2.
That is the concern of will, not time.
I mean, I finished Hades 2. That's kind of a game you're not supposed to be able to finish.
There you go.
And yet you did.
I kind of ran out of
things. You know, it's a great game if you want to kill some time.
Great if you want to fill up
bugs. Oh, that took me way too long.
One guy gets it.
No, I got it. I just didn't want to dignify it.
Don't encourage him. He'll keep going.
Get back.
He's got all the time in the world.
I can do this all day.
Get back. Get back.
Right now I'm practicing Bloodstained Ritual of the Night Randomizer because I agreed to do a bonus stream if we raise enough money during Extra Life.
Oh, yeah. So is this chaos mode randomizer?
I don't know if I want to go full chaos because last time I did that I got very lost and frustrated. But I'll randomize the shards so at least then you know the path is different. Because if you don't randomize shards, then you're killing the same bosses, same order, you know, to get double jump, whatnot. So. But one time I did like pure chaos and I did randomized recipes too. And it's like, okay, yeah, you need 2 of the most powerful sword in the game to make, like a rice ball or something. It's like, you know, it's just ridiculous.
One damn good rice ball.
So I don't know if I want to do pure chaos because that could take hours and I don't know. But I'm not going to do where you just kill Gebel and then you're done because no, that's cheating.
Yeah,
so you got to think about the kids at those Wisconsin children's hospitals. They would want you to go full chaos.
They would. Oh boy, it's for the kids.
It's for the kids. Please
think chaos. About the children.
The children crave chaos.
We're talking about SEX in front of the CHILDREN. Sex cauldron. I thought they shut that place down.
Oh boy.
Get back. Get back. Back to
we should you probably answer some Fire Manor questions.
But on this practice run, though, just want to let you know I got Valkyrie Dress right at the start and Fragorak, which is a very good sword.
Wow.
He's speaking in tongues. You have to stop him.
Yeah, but also I bought all the DLC, so when you do randomizer, you could technically use like Shantae's equipment or the Usagi, the Vampiric. Yeah, so you get all these extra sets to start with, but I'm like, well, that's cheating. You know? That defeats the purpose of randomizer if you start with like 10 different things you can use. All right. Yeah, so we should probably answer some of Finer Miner's questions. I saw several of them. And also, I was letting our buddy Wheels know that I can. Apparently, I accidentally released a white Flabebe, so I also cannot complete the quest.
That's all
right. So I will trade you the blue for a white. How about that?
I don't have the white.
Okay, then. Whatever. Then I'll just give it to you. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All sevens for the code. No, all 6-7.
Oh,
yes. Six.
What do you? I don't
know
what
Halloween outfit this year.
Nobody knows what that means. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Just put in 6-7.
It doesn't mean anything.
What's wrong with these?
I never heard of this thing until it hit the news for the dictionary or whatever. It's like, what are we talking about, dude?
Oh, it's just, oh it's no. Like, just I no can't soap talk radio in my class. For
Gen Alpha.
I cannot say either one of those numbers in my class without somebody yelling it out.
Wait a second. This isn't you at all.
Oh, that's not me because I'm not even playing the game. Oh, who jumped? Jeez. Wait, how do we get these randos in our games, man?
Okay, so do you guys got the questions? Because my brain is...
we broke his brain. Hold on, I'm going to pick one. Hold on. Hold on, let me see here.
Oh, okay, nice, then nice one lesson for Dragon Quest. Just as a conceptual thing. Would Dragon Quest 1 have been improved if they had somehow given you the option of having a monster friend along?
I think this time, yes. I was just
turning into
and
a different
what?
Game.
I think there was at least 3 different points in the story where I thought someone was going to join me. Because there are reoccurring characters. You meet up with these same 2 guards. That I think it's like the dad and his daughter are both guards at Tantacle, and they meet you a couple different times. And one's like, oh, I'd like nothing better than to join you, but... And I'm like, you know...
By far, I was really disturbed when someone in the voice acting said Tantagel.
Yes.
Tantagel. That's the name of the castle. It's from Arthurian legend.
I know, Tantagel. But I've never actually read Arthurian legend, so I just thought that sounds weird.
Yeah. Yep. No, and I always thought of... I mean, I... You know, you pronounce it in your head. I think that might have been the first time I've actually heard it voiced either. Like, yeah. Actually, I probably was said in the 3 one, but you hear it a lot in 1.
I was playing a lot while talking to other people, so I wasn't paying much attention to what they were saying in the voice acting.
So basically, you're saying that they did have the possibility of giving us an addition to the original game that would have helped deal with the action economy issues.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think they very specifically wanted those action economy issues to exist.
Oh, it, I mean, and like I said,
to the extreme
I get
that he's
it,
describing, that's just ridiculously broken.
So,
and not in favor.
Real quick, do you want to hang on to that snow run, or would you be willing to give me that
snow run?
Yeah, because I want to get Frostlass, one of my favorites.
Where is it?
The left.
And go those up. Things are not hard to catch. You just need to have the right wild zone open.
There you go.
Well, I guess I don't, but it's fine. Oh, and apparently this blue Flabébé you sent me is an alpha.
Alpha Flabébé. Okay.
So, continuing the thought process, though. I do definitely think that it is a considered decision that they never give you a second person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can understand
that just from the trying to preserve the narrative. That's why my suggestion was like, have a monster companion, just pick up a little slime at some point early on and keep feeding it stuff and it grows into bigger monsters or something.
That'd be kind of
that
cool.
Way you have a support that is not actually a character that gets in the way of the narrative. Saga.
I do like the cadre of like hapless attempted heroes that are running around DQ1 now.
Oh,
yeah. I remember yes. That from my
that
demo.
Was another one. I thought one of those might join me.
You fool! Like, why would you think any of them was going to join you?
Fool.
Well, they like stay and defend a town at some point. They're like, oh, we'll just stay here and defend this town.
My favorite thing that they do with them early on is that first dungeon you're in, one of them, like, they get split up because they're idiots and can't keep track of each other. And then one of them runs into a slime and is, like, absolutely terrified of being killed by it. And, like, you can walk up and talk to the slime and it's literally asleep. And then it wakes up and it's like, I don't know what he's going on about. I'm friendly.
Hello, Gooman. Don't hurt me.
Like he's
call you the Gooman.
He's just a nice little slime, and this guy is like standing there, certain that he is staring down death, while the slime intermittently sleeps and speaks friendly to whoever talks to it.
Looks like it's, I have a Dawnstone. Good.
There has been a thorough injection of Dragon Quest-style humor into Dragon Quest 1.
But they kept the complete old English all the way through.
Yeah, they kept that affectation.
Mm-hmm. And the voice acting does a wonderful job with it.
The old timey voice acting? Okay.
Yep.
Welcome to the run,
is it as good as Dragon Quest 8?
I love DQ8's voice acting.
Yeah. No, this is wonderful. I just remember
I'm
assuming this is Schlock again, who does a lot of the Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy voices. Because they are all very British.
I felt like that suited Dragon Quest better than it does FF.
Yeah.
I just remember one of the towns in Dragon Quest 8 like being pronounced Ascanther. Without when there's no R in anywhere in it, and it's like okay, it's we're about as
it's
British
real
as
British
we can get
here,
there.
Aren't you?
Wow, yeah. Is that the one that's Ascanthia?
Yep.
At least that's
what
it looks
like. Nate always called it Ascanther.
Far be it for me to argue with the maids.
I think she was actually an important NPC for that particular part of the story. This is just one of the few things I remember from Dragon Quest VIII for PlayStation 2. Definitely. Mm. Yeah. Just things that stick with
you.
Oh, Flyer Miner redeemed story time. I like stories.
Oh god, story time for what?
I like stories.
I'm not good at telling stories, Flyer Miner.
What does that thing mean? Like what? Like I need to. Yeah, I need to understand what your intentions were when you gave that as a redeemable thing.
I didn't. It's in the RP Gamer channel.
So do we know what that's supposed to be for?
I haven't said at all any of those up.
Is that all extra life stuff coming?
No, I think that's always been there, story time.
Yeah, it seems like something that would be there. Let's see. I'm sure I can think of some sort of dumb video game trivia story. Give me a moment. Look at the next question. Feed it to me while I think about it.
I previously asked about the viability of making a big budget erotica. Oh God. Erotica game, and you answered with the difficulty of marketing and paying for the game. That said, which game available in big box stores that pushes the envelope the furthest? Has anyone ever found a copy of DOA Extreme in Walmart or the Guy game? Oh God,
never saw those in Walmart. DOA Extreme, I think, actually probably was stocked. I don't think there's any appetite for those, especially with how payment processors are now. You're going to need at least another 10 years of shift in the other direction before anyone even remotely considers this. Oh, still now.
Did you hear the latest about the payment processing thing?
Just that they're getting really annoyed that people keep asking them about it.
please keep on doing that, everyone, please. No, yeah. They have been, apparently somebody's been discussing a new AI discernment program to help weed out potential scam transactions. Mm-hmm. And the list of items that trigger this flagging for potential scam include pretty much anything related to anime, video games, art commissions, or anything else you could imagine within that particular umbrella.
I appreciate that because
VTubers on principle.
Yeah, I appreciate the concept like this because it's impossible to tell. Is the thing just really stupid, or did they try to make it do that? Because the answer could be either.
Possibly both.
But, you know, if you don't know what numbers to call and you want to help the cause, look up yellat.money.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, given payment processors, like, there's going to be even less appetite for this than there already would have been. I don't think there's any viable path to this.
At this point, if you are commissioning artwork from any artist and using PayPal to pay, if you put commission or art in the information box going along with the payment, they will quite likely deplatform the artist.
Yeah, just don't, you don't need to, you and the artist both know what it's for, you don't need to do this.
Yeah.
Don't make life harder for them.
Or yourself, because you can get yourself debanked for this as well.
Yeah, so, just be smart about this, folks. I'm thinking I'll say something about it. But yeah, as for the most extreme stuff that I've seen, like half of what Sony published on the PS2 or PS3 pushes that envelope about as far as you can, any given God of War game or whatever the fuck David Cage was making at any given moment would have probably triggered this much faster, and it's inconsistent that they didn't bother. That obviously Sony had the muscle to push that shit anywhere, like, you know. Yeah, so, you know, it's always where the money is. But, yeah. Let's see. Story time. Beloved terrible game developer. Beloved terrible game development studio, Quantic Dream. The head of such, David Cage, was once asked why a plot device that exists to create tension in the video game Heavy Rain is never addressed. That plot device is your character randomly passing out. The answer he gave was that it was a MacGuffin, so he doesn't have to explain it. That's not what a MacGuffin is, just by the by.
It's terrible.
Terrible. Bad game.
Jason!
But yeah, here's an actual fun story. A unreleased Famicom RPG just leaked.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Splatterworld.
Actually, I think I carried that in Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Splatterhouse spin-off RPG
I believe the art direction taken from Splatterhouse Wanpaku Graffiti for the Famicom has leaked online.
It sounds dreadful.
4chan, wasn't it?
Yeah, somehow it's leaked on 4chan. This is a Japanese game. There was this didn't come out anywhere, and it sure didn't have an English localization planned. This is just a raw dump of an unreleased Japanese video game.
Yeah, I reposted this 3 days ago on Blue Sky and was just like, what in the world? I have no idea what this is, but seriously? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's for those who have seen Wanpaku Graffiti, this is a very this kind of thing where we just make here's an RPG spinoff of a random platformer. This isn't even the only unreleased one I can think of. There was going to be an RPG based off of Bonk.
Cool.
Forget what silly title that was going to have, but that was there were images of it floating around. I'm trying to figure out what title it was actually announced as. Let's see. RPC Genjin. But they were going to do Bonk was going to get a similar thing where I can only assume that it was just RPGs are really big. We need to turn our platformers into RPGs or something. But it's a very strange, silly thing. But yeah, not even the only strange RPG version of an existing property. But yeah, that just leaked. It seems to be essentially done. And there seem to be at least three or so efforts to translate it into English at this point. And I've been watching a friend post screenshots as they play through it in Japanese. But yeah, very, very cute. Not even the only unreleased video game I've seen that has been dumped within the past week. We've gotten it's been a strangely active week because a strategy game from Sega Technical Institute seems to have also leaked.
What the hell?
Yeah, a Mega Drive sort of real-time strategy-ish prototype has dumped. So, yeah, unreleased games do leak every so often, but it's weird when it's two such unusual ones with such rapidity. There's your story time. That's what you get for story time.
Yay.
Okay, let's hit a couple more questions and call it quits because I'm tired.
And go up to the top. 2 weeks ago, Yoko Taro made a tweet about how he always signs things with some little personal touch, so he's able to spot people faking his signature to sell games and albums on eBay. I know that it's a collector's thing, but I won't ever go out of my way to pay more for something just because someone signs it. Sign it for the fans asking them to, and not for you.
Yeah, I don't get why. All the stuff I have that's signed, it's fun because there's a story behind it. The story of getting the signature is the fun part. It just being signed is not that interesting to me.
Yeah.
Hit up.
What was that?
You said ditto.
I am agreeing. Yes.
Ditto.
Yeah, I got a...
I'm not talking Pokemon.
I got a copy of .hack GU trilogy signed by John Young Bosch, and really it's just as a memento to remember getting to meet him more than anything else.
Yeah, I have the whatchamacallit. I have the soundtracks for Guild Wars 2 and Skyrim signed by the composer, but I just ordered it online. It's like, oh,
And then I found out the guy might be a real piece of shit. So, yeah.
I have... I've brought these up. I have a poster signed by Alexei Pajitnov, the creator of Tetris. I have a copy of Koji Igarashi, the Castlevania producer, Castlevania and Bloodstained producer's most forgotten PS2 game, Nano Breaker, signed by the man himself. I've got a DQ11 poster signed by Yuji Horii. Do I have anything else? I have a copy of Deadly Premonition and Spy Fiction signed by Hidetaka Suihiro. And I wasn't able to... If I realized that he would just sign whatever someone thrust in front of him, I would have gotten a copy of Flower, Sun, and Rain signed by Suda51, but instead I just have a selfie with him and a bunch of my friends where he is making like the most deranged face he could come up with.
That's cool.
Okay.
But that's more fun anyway.
So what'd I miss?
Just talking about signed video game paraphernalia.
Well, it's not video games, but I got a poster signed by Rob Paul, a Ninja Turtles poster signed by Rob Paulson.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Turtles?
Huh? No,
he signed it as both of the turtles.
No, it was just a Donatello.
Yeah. He has played two turtles.
Yeah, just hilarious.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Not that one. Different one.
Oh.
Who is also the friendliest celebrity I've ever met. I think I've told this story on the show.
I've never heard anything but nice things about Robert Paulson.
But the line to meet him moved very slowly, because he was trying to have like a genuine human moment with every person that came up to meet him.
Wow.
Like, extremely nice. Wonderful. Among my wonderful person.
I've talked about this before. Among my signings, the funniest one was Igarashi, because I am convinced no one has ever presented him a copy of Nano Breaker to sign. Like, he was really excited to see it.
Wow, like,
that's awesome.
He shouted, "Ah, Nano Breaker, you are a good gamer."
Wow.
And I can tell you that, like, people around the, like, this was a long line to get stuff signed. People could definitely hear that he had done that. Because he, like, again, he shouted that. But, and then his interpreter said, "I think that is the most English that he has spoken in the over the entire weekend."
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
Nice.
But yeah, he was just this is my actual recommendation. If you're getting something signed from a creator, get something weird.
Yes.
Bring them something that they're like, "Oh man, someone remembers this."
Yes. Yes, that's exactly why I brought Johnny Young Bosch, like .hackgu. No one else there. I don't think anyone else there even had video games. It was all like anime.
I would imagine it was a lot of Power.
Yeah, lots of anime, probably some Power Rangers stuff. And he didn't even...
I would imagine.
He was excited because I told he didn't know it was coming to Switch. I didn't get the Switch version signed, but I told him that it was like coming out to Switch. He was really excited. That was cool.
Yeah, like... You know, anything that reminds someone that, like, something that they maybe hadn't thought about in a while had touched someone, I think, tends to tickle a creator.
Yeah, I wish I had some more cash at the time. I really wanted to get Tales of the Abyss signed, too.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm just remembering the one TGS event that turned out to be Nobuo Uematsu's visual novel, whatever thing. Promotion. And so I still have a little bag with his name on it signed somewhere in the back of my closet. But the better memory from that was when me and there was this big Asian guy from Texas who would come, who was always at TGS for the cosplay reporting, and we would just sit together whenever Nippon Ichi or Actel had one of their events. And so that year
It was like Uematsu had bought beer for all the tables in this event. they had beer bottles at all these things. And so in the middle of it, he was like, guys, why aren't you drinking? And so
we're here to have a good time, guys.
So the cosplay site guy and I, we just looked at each other. Okay, we just poured each other a drink and went, kanpai! At the next opportunity. And nice. Uematsu just really liked that. So not signed anything, but you know what? Yeah, got to toast the man himself, and apparently he really does like his beer.
So. The memories you can make are what's worth it. That's why I would never bother paying for an eBay, like, this is a signed whatever. I am now thinking about, I've been on a very Beatles-minded situation over the past week, and I am reminded of when Ringo Starr officially ceased to answer fan mail or accept things being sent to him to be signed, which has an incredible YouTube video involved. That was how he announced it, via a YouTube video in 2008.
Wow.
And it's a YouTube video that includes the phrase, I'm warning you with peace and love.
I'm warning you with peace and love.
And I'm warning you with peace and love. But the other thing about that is that the reason he was doing that was that people would send him a guitar to be signed. As he put it, they would unscrew the plate and screw it onto a shit guitar and then sell that for $3,000, and he didn't want to deal with that. He's only going to sign things for charity. But yeah, that was very funny. Since I've been on the Beatles deep dive, I will also bring up one other piece of cursed Ringo Starr lore, which is Ringo Starr has continued to produce albums essentially in perpetuity. He has one coming out in February. But the funniest thing that has ever occurred in human history was in 2019, when Ringo Starr and the guitarist for the Eagles got together on a track talking about assholes on Twitter. And which included the guitarist of the Eagles rapping multiple verses.
Why?
No one has ever sounded older than listening to, an ancient rock and roll guitarist screaming a rap verse that starts with, "Everybody's on the internet, what's up with that?" It's incredible. Everyone, please go look up Gotta Get Up to Get Down.
Oh, God. I don't want to, but I'm going to now, for sure.
I'm putting it in. I am putting it in your Discord.
You've cursed us with this knowledge now.
Everybody's on Facebook doing their thing.
Oh, God.
Facebook sucks.
Everyone must know of Gotta Get Up to Get Down. I am warning you with peace and love. Sorry, needed to spill that one to as many people as I can. Okay, I've irrevocably pulled us off the rails. One more question.
Okay, let's see. Oh, there's so many. Erotic DQ tribute fan games? What? No. No.
Yeah, I don't think we can pull that one for now.
What?
I assure you there's a bazillion of them, because a million Japanese children imprinted on the character class art from Dragon Quest III.
I will say that one of the first deep looks we did on the old site was actually a Dragon Quest fan game done by one of our former staffers. It was really good.
Yeah. I remember that.
And that's about the only one I will ever cover. So. Yeah. So, if you go over to archive.rpgamer.com and actually, if you do a web search using that website and look for Deep Look, you'll probably find it eventually. Have a look. Have fun.
It's archaeology.
Yeah.
Here's a fighting game question. Gil Winquote, one of my favorite fighting game YouTuber, recently visited the Exarch Arcadia headquarters and wrote down his thoughts about it. He confirmed my suspicion all along that they don't use emulator, instead straight up port the game, often without the source code. They want to port more niche and or even unreleased games, but these games won't make much money in the first place, so selling them at such a high price is the only way they can finance themselves. And this is kind of a follow-up, so I'm going to include that too. According from what I've heard from the Boonies, Dave and Buster once fielded a few Exarchadia machines at some test locations, but the experiment failed because these machines earned little to nothing. That is just the case with arcade games in America nowadays. Talk about how people really fear commitment in video games and such, but how does it work in arcades?
I think it ends up just being that, you know, people are only at an arcade for so long, and since most of the time it's a novelty, you're not going to go to an arcade terribly often. You're probably going to be more likely to go to the games that you know are fun, because you have to pay for each of them, and you only have so much time here. I think that's really down to it, especially because, like, a lot of them are, you know, people, especially in that situation, they gravitate towards games with novel, methods of play. Like, you know, you'd gravitate towards things like the rhythm games that tend to have, like, specialized controllers, or you gravitate towards the light gun games because those are kind of a pain in the ass to play at home.
The Luigi's Mansion light gun games.
Yeah, like Luigi Mansion. You gravitate towards the things that would be difficult to, that it feels like it would be difficult to play at home, that you can't play something similar to at home, and that are, you know, that you figure that you are more likely to think you'll enjoy, just because, again, you probably aren't going to be here that long, and you don't want to spend like a million, you don't want to spend a ton of money trying out a whole bunch of different things, because it's per play. Everybody's in the arcade. What's up with that? Okay. I need to use the restroom, so it's probably best that we start telling... What books could I be reading while I'm using the restroom?
Well, as obviously some people out there have way too much money to spend on pointless gacha pools,
mm-hmm.
why not put that money to better use supporting your local indie authors and artists? So, for example, we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. For those who enjoy tabletop games but simply don't have the time and yet have too much spare cash on their person. This is far less than 1 week's worth of gachapulls in just general cost, and much more valuable overall, I would say. So, and entertaining. So if you enjoy tabletop role-playing games, if you enjoy watching other people or reading about other people making really poor personal and game decisions, and then getting to suffer through the consequences of their own dice rolls, literal or metaphorical, again, Princesses of the Pizza Parlor for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited by Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu. Again, it's 13 episodes, 5 side stories, 1 self-indulgently long paralogue novel, and I need to get to the rest of it soon. Okay. Other than that, I had a bit of a very short-term surprise sale for my Lit RPG novel last weekend, just because it was actually set on Halloween. I figured, hey, why not? So that sale is over, but if you want to check out Vainglorious Long as the Night, it is still there in both print replica and reflowable text formats, depending on your personal ebook reading preferences, or just go with the paperback and enjoy my questionable decisions on cover design. You'll understand if you order it. So again, Vainglorious Long as the Night, lit RPG based at least philosophically on Metroidvanias and all those games that seem to have far too many girls in questionable costume designs. The girls are not happy about this. I'll leave it at that. And then otherwise, we have Tanuki is a Teapot, Japanese folktales all involving animals. Sometimes the animals survive to the end. I mean, you know, folktales. That happens. Again, all this by Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu, on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. I did have one other item under a different name, which is currently off shelf for reasons of I'm trying to consider different ways to promote it. But somehow somebody read part of this on Kindle Unlimited last weekend. I'm not sure how. But so if you can actually find it, A Wager for Wonderlust by Michael Spearwater is potentially available. I don't know how.
If you have, if you're capable of the skullduggery necessary to find it,
go ahead, try it, please. I mean, I saw two pages read on Kindle Unlimited on Saturday. I'm like, okay, somebody was checking out Vainglorious just to see before they purchased it or something. But no, it's like two pages read in the United Kingdom for a book which I did not realize was available to be read right now. Ow.
I just choose to believe that, like, this is now an ARG. You need to figure out how to read it.
Yes. I mean, this is... Okay, sure, fine. Okay, well, please, again, if you have enough money to spend $200 a week on gachapuls, seriously, just consider some indie authors and artists, please.
That'll cost it'll like one 100th of what you're spending.
And be money far better spent.
Yeah.
Wheels is getting destroyed right now.
What is this thing? Phalanx. It's just... What? It's, everything is weak?
I think it's bug and steel.
So what are you, where can we find you, Joe?
Oh, okay, so I've been streaming for rpgamer.com. I go by Smoke and Joe Gamer. So I've been playing Pokemon Legends EA every Tuesday, Thursday night. And thanks again for sending me that free copy. And I'm just having a ball with this game, let me tell you. I love it. And as a matter of fact, I just did the side quest that is guaranteed to get you the shiny Mareep. And it's like kind of what we were talking about before. Like, yeah, like shiny hunting is cool. But like when they just like give it to you, it's like, well, that kind of takes the fun out of it. Huh?
Yeah, it's the whole excitement of, oh, my God, it's a shiny. I have to try and catch this. Like it's yeah, just me giving it. It's like, OK, it looks cool, but meh.
Yeah, so I just did that side quest. But yeah, I've been streaming that two nights a week, and I've been having a lot of fun and been getting some viewers and chatters, and it's cool. And then on my own Twitch channel and YouTube channels, which are also, you know, Smoke and Joe Gamer, I was doing Halloween-themed content, so I did a bunch of horror games. And on Halloween night, I did do a 90-minute stream of Luigi's Mansion, which... I had barely played it before, and it wasn't as fun as I was hoping, but, you know, I still stream that for a little bit. And other than that, I'm going to be doing Extra Life next Saturday from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. I think they're going to let me just play Tetris for 2 hours, and I'm okay with that. And then we get enough money during the... I think one of the donation goals is you'll get me to play Bloodstained Ritual of the Night Randomizer. And as we were discussing before, I don't know if I want to go total chaos. I feel like I've been thinking about it over the past, half an hour since it came up. And it's like, well, maybe I should, you know, it's for the kids. So we'll see if it, just how random and chaotic this will be. So look forward to both of those streams coming up. And yeah, and over on YouTube, I was going through a lot of my videos. I got like 400 videos on there. So maybe there's something to entertain you for a little while. But that's where you'll find all of my spooky Halloween stream
content from the past month, so just check that out, please. And I noticed something about ZA. I made a male character, and so the first NPC that greets you is a girl. So if you make a female character, is that person now a boy?
Yep.
Okay. That's neat. Yeah, and I got a really cool leather jacket and sunglasses and combat boots for my character, so he looks pretty badass.
Nice.
And of course, you can join the RP Gamer Discord server if you'd like, and it's a nice group of people. Yeah, that's also where you can ask questions for Q&A quests.
Yep. You can ask us questions. You can join the RP Gamer Discord by going to rpgamer.com and clicking community. You can ask us questions in the podcast section of the Discord, or you can ask us questions in the comments section under this very episode, or you can ask us questions in the chat, if the RP Gamer or Ask Wheels chat. If you catch us when we're streaming, typically 8:30 p.m. Pacific, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights. We also have our sister show, Shenanigans, which is 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Sunday nights. Otherwise, Matt, tell us about what you do. Are you still awake? All right,
you can, yes, I am. If you want more of me, if you want some Dragon Quest stuff, you can listen to my podcast. We've got 5 years of content there all over the place. Dragon Quest Slime Time. You can find it wherever you're listening to this episode, or it's on YouTube. We have a gracious benefactor who makes videos out of all of our ones, so you can find it on the Dragon or Woodus.com, the Dragon's Den YouTube there. Or if you want to stick with RP Gamer, I also co-host our bi-weekly nostalgia show called RPG Backtrack. You will quite often hear David and Wheels and Tam. You've heard on this show quite a few times. And many other RP Gamers staff members will be there talking about games that are usually 2 years old or more. Every now and then we bend the rules and get a little bit newer or older, usually when we're kind of clomping stuff together to come up with a themed months like Atelier April. I believe we're going to do a couple Like a Dragon's this month coming up, but there's 400. No, we don't have that 400. We're in the 300s. You guys are in the 400s. We're in the 300s. There's a lot of content, a lot of back episodes that you can listen to. But Kelly Ryan and I have been hosting that for about 4 or 5 years as well. And there's hundreds of episodes even before us. So RP Gamers all the way down the line. Lots of retro games, lots of games from the past couple years, and tons of games from 2020 forward. So come join us on our RPG Backtrack.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be on an episode at some point. We'll see.
I mean, you could just go in there and look at our... There's a Google list there that you can see pinned, Joe, on our back channel, and just take a look and see if you've played any of those games.
Yeah. Oh, and I just need to let you guys know, I was just browsing Steam randomly. Somebody modded Resident Evil 4 Remake and turned Leon into Neptunia. And I just think it's insane. Yeah.
Okay, can you send me a link to that immediately?
Yeah. We just go... If you have Resident Evil 4 in your library on Steam... Oh, you don't. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to fix that.
So here's... Okay.
Completely stupid.
Here's Neptunia about to fight El Gigante. Well, you know, I can just save the screenshot. Okay.
Yeah. El Gigante.
El Gigante. And then here's Nep-Nep talking to Ada. All right, I'll share that with you. Oh, are we done with the episode? Or are we still recording?
We haven't technically completely ended it.
Yeah, we haven't ended it.
Oh, okay.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. see ya, Space Cowboys.
This is Mole Man in the morning. Good Mole Man to you.
Good timing.